The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirit of prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, 'Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and all who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who continues to do wrong, let him, while he is vow, and who is vow, continue to be vow. And let him who has continued to do right, let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me. And he will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to eat of the tree of life and may go through the gates of the city into the city. Outside are the dogs and those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the slanderers, and everyone who hates, loves, and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches, and I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears say, 'Come.' Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, that if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with God's people." And everyone says, "Amen." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, the power of your word, that your word endures forever. We thank you, Lord, that your word gives us hope, gives us confidence, encouragement, and insurance. But Lord, above everything else, through the book of Revelation, you have revealed yourself to us, and that you are indeed the very Word of God, the one who was in the beginning, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who will be at the end. For you are the Word that became flesh. And Father, we thank you for your spoken word that gives us hope. And as you have revealed yourself to us, the book of Revelation really is that word of encouragement to us. And we thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have, the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our soon coming King Jesus Christ. And the wonderful hope that we have that Satan may rage, but you have defeated and destroyed him. And the wonderful hope that we have that you are preparing that wonderful place that was described for us so beautifully in this book. And that someday we will reign with you there and eat from the tree of life in your presence forever. And so, Lord, thank you for the encouragement that your word and this book has brought to us and continues to as we live for you each day. So once again, as we come to your word, we ask you to open it up to us. Help us to see you in it. Give us understanding and reveal yourself to us through Jesus Christ, your Son, through whom we pray. Amen. Last words are famous words, or words that are something that want to be remembered and often recorded. Whenever a loved one, a father or mother, is ready to leave this life and go into the presence of the Lord if they know Jesus, often when a person knows that death is coming, they'll gather their family around them and share with them maybe the final words of counsel or advice that they want their loved ones to know. Many famous last words have been documented through history of people down through the years that have recorded their final words for us. Words that have lived on and continue to be immortal. Today we get to the final word spoken in this book. The last words in Revelation chapter 22, verses 6 to 21, what I read. We come to the final words in Revelation and also the final words in the entire Bible. With these words, God's eternal written word comes to an end. And so when we get to this part of Revelation and close it, the written revealed word of God is ending. So this is a final word that he wants us to know. Often described as the prologue to the book. And we think, well, prologue, does that mean it's just an ending? There's nothing substantial here. This is very substantial to us because it's, like I said, God's final word for not only Revelation, but all of Scripture. So what we have written here is of utmost importance to God because he wants it to be the final closing to this book and to the Word as a whole. It's a summary for the entire, not only the book of Revelation, but for the entire Bible. So there's two reasons why this final word that we have written here needs to be heeded and taken seriously by us as we bring this whole series to a close. What does he want us to know? And there's two main things that stand out. One is the trustworthiness of God's word, and one is the nearness of Christ's return. That Christ is coming, and to be ready and prepared for that. And another is how God's word is true. But as we look at this final word, the first thing we discover this morning is it's a word of authority. And it needs to be received as such. These final word kind of bringing a summary for all of God's word together. That is, God is reminding us that his word is true, reliable, and is our authority for all of life. Authority for our hope, authority for living, authority for everything we believe, all rests on what he has taught us here, not only in Revelation, but in all of Scripture itself. John says that the angel who spoke to me in verse 6 reminded us as he was bringing this revelation to a close, he said, "The angel that spoke to me and gave me this vision said that these words are trustworthy and true. And they're reliable because it's the word of authority that comes from God himself." So what does that mean as we apply to your life and mine, as we apply to our life, that God's word is that word of authority that we need to take hold of? Well, it means we need to let it live in us. Because it's the word of authority, we need to let it live in our life every day. That means let it be alive in us. Let it be active in us. We're told in Hebrews that the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword that's able to penetrate into the deepest parts of us, even knowing so well that it can divide joints and marrow. God's word, the God who knows you and I so well, as we saw in the earlier part of Revelation when he spoke to the churches, and we saw how he spoke to each one of those, a word for them that was particular to their unique situation, because he knew them well as he walked in their midst, if you remember that. And God, who walks in our midst, knows us well, and with his word of authority, he speaks to you. And he says, you got to let my word live in you. Why? Because we can trust what it says. Because it is trustworthy and it is reliable. And go on to verse 8. John says that I, John, who saw, am the one who saw and heard these things. And when I heard and seen them, I fell down and worshiped at the feet of the angel. But John says, I witnessed this. And I'm writing it down. And he said, I'm writing what I've heard and seen. And the angel verifies it, that these words are true and trustworthy and reliable and come from him. So let God's word live in you, because you can trust him. And you can trust what his word says. So when he gives you that promise that let not your heart be troubled, I am going to prepare a place for you. He's given us a glimpse of it in the book of Revelation in the final chapters, as we've seen last week and the week before. And he's kind of given us a glimpse of that. But we can trust him that every promise he's made, he will keep. We can also trust him that he will not go back on his word. That he does not change. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't think, well, I said this, but I'll reconsider. He's reliable, and he's true, and he's faithful. And that's the kind of God we have. Aren't you thankful for that? And that's the God who spoke to you. That's a God who revealed this word. That's a God who revealed himself to us. And so we can trust him. From the very beginning, in Genesis 1:1 to the very end, in Revelation chapter 22:21, we can trust the reliability of his word. Many have tried to attack it. Many have tried to deny it. Many have tried to destroy it. But the reality of God's word remains, and heaven and earth may pass away, but God's word will endure forever. So let it live in you. You can trust him. He'll never let you down. Jesus never fails. He'll never forsake you. He'll never abandon you. He'll be with you always. He's trustworthy and he's true. He's the only one that we can say is true all the time. Boy, we live in a world where truth is hard to find, isn't it? You can't trust a lot of people if what they're saying is the truth. But we know that what God has spoken is truth to us. And it's reliable to us. So let it live in you. You can also let it live in you because blessing results from obedience. He says in verse 7, behold, I am coming soon, and blessed is he who keeps the words of this prophecy in this book. Jesus, and if you notice, if you have a red letter Bible, that's actually Jesus speaking here. The angel revealed the prophecy, but this is actually the very words of Christ as Jesus spoke to John. And as we know at the very beginning of this book, Jesus stood in front of John, revealing himself. And this is the words of Christ himself. And said that you are blessed if you keep my word and you apply it to your life. So let God's word live in you, because blessing will result when we obey. Doesn't necessarily mean that if we obey God's word, everything's going to be perfect for us. It doesn't mean that if we obey God, we're not going to have problems or hardship. Will we? No. But it means spiritual blessing will result in our life. And most importantly, the blessing of eternal life. And the blessings of what he's promised us. Obedience brings blessing. But disobedience brings discipline. Just as any parent disciplines, or any loving parent would discipline a disobedient child, so God does with us. But through obedience, we have blessing in our life. So let it live in you. Let it become active in your life. because God will bless you in ways that never would have occurred before. Because it's the word of authority, not only let it live in us, but we also need to let it guide you. Because his word gives us the guidance and direction we need, because it is the authority of God himself speaking. In verse 8, John said, I am the one who saw this. I heard it and I wrote it down. And what I heard and have seen from him. He said, what I've heard and seen, I have written down. And the angel said in verse 6, this is the word that is trustworthy and true that the spirit of the prophet sent his angel to show, coming directly from God. And we can let God guide us because it comes from God himself. And John was reminded of that, that the word he was writing down was not his own. And John's telling us that here, that the scripture we received is not the word of John, it's the word of God. That he received directly from him. That's the source. And because of it, we can trust and we can let it guide us. Because who knows better what lies ahead for our life than God, right? Who knows better what the future's about than the one who created all things? Who knows us better than the God who made us? The one who is the beginning and the end. The one who has a plan and purpose for everything. And who knows that better than God? And let him guide us as he reveals his word to give us the direction we need. Psalm 119 tells us that God's word is that light lamp for our pathway. And we discussed that verse in our small group Bible study last week about what that means about the light for the pathway. And basically what it means is God gives us enough light for in the next step. Have you ever been like, if you're walking and hiking in a trail in the middle of the night and going through a trail in the woods and you need a flashlight to guide you, the spotlight's going to shine really broad, but a flashlight's going to give you enough for your next one or two steps down the road. And often that's how God will guide us through his word, but he gives us enough to take that next step and the next step by faith. Don't you wish that God would reveal the whole thing at once? But he doesn't do it that way. But he does give you the guidance you need to follow step by step if you let his word live in you and let it guide you, because it comes from him. Because it comes from him, he will give you his guidance. Let it guide you because it points us to Christ. When John got this revelation from God, he was so moved. And I can't imagine, what would you have felt? What would you experience? I know I would have been overwhelmed as we went through this book together in these months. And the vision that John saw and all the things and symbols that God showed to him. And the horrific scenes of the tribulation and the glories of heaven. And seeing Jesus in all his glory and all that, I'm sure was overwhelming to John. And it would have been to any of us. And John's response was that he fell on his feet in worship, but not to worship God. Who did he try to worship? The angel. The angel said, whoa, wait a minute. Don't worship me. Worship God. He said, I am a fellow servant of God just like you. Give worship to him. And so God's word guides us because it always points us to Jesus, who is the very word himself. And that's where our focus needs to be. And often, when we come to God's word, if our focus is off course, I've experienced this in my life, maybe you have too, that we get our eyes off of Christ and we get it on ourselves. We get it on our problems. We get it on the situation that we're in, the adversity that we're facing. And that's where our focus and eyes seem to be. And we lose sight of where it needs to be. And we come to God's word. We open up God's word. And all of a sudden, God will speak a word to us. Like, put your eyes on me. Turn your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And God will bring a word to us that takes it again and puts our eyes right back where it needs to be, on Christ. Off of our problem, off of our attitude of unforgiveness, or whatever we may be facing. He puts our eyes back on Jesus, as the author of Hebrews says, let us run the race with all diligence and keep our eyes focused on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Or we may get discouraged, and we may be gone through difficulty and adversity, and then we come to that verse that Paul says, I have not fought, I have kept the faith, I have finished the race, and there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which isn't for me only, but for all those who long for my appearing. And again, that puts our eyes back on Jesus where it needs to be. Aren't you thankful that God's word has the power to do that? It's one of the ways it guides us, by pointing us back to Jesus when we lose our focus, when our eyes get off of ourselves and off of Christ. And Paul reminding us that we are to run the race, keep our eyes on Him. Let it live in you. Let it guide you. And because it's a word of authority, we need to let it transform us, to let it change us. It's a whole purpose, part of the reason why God has revealed and given His word to us, part of the whole reason why God gave the book of Revelation and revealed it to John, was so that people would see this vision, this prophecy, and their lives would be changed and transformed as a result of it. Because Jesus is coming back. And Jesus doesn't want people to have to spend that eternity in the lake of fire that is being prepared for who? The devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for people. And Jesus doesn't want people to go there. And He revealed His word and revealed this prophecy so that people could see and their lives would be changed, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. And taking the word of God in our life and putting it active and letting it change us. And as it says in Romans chapter 12, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And how's that? That's through the word of God, as it goes deep into us and lives in us. You say, well, how do you get that transformation out of this? Well, look what he says in verse 10 and 11. The angel said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. God's saying, don't seal it up. Let it be read. Let it be understood. Let it be proclaimed. Let it be studied. Let it be shared. Different than the revelation that was given to Daniel. Because God revealed to Daniel the prophet back in the Old Testament almost the same thing that he revealed to John in Revelation. In Revelation, we see the fulfillment. But Daniel saw a lot of those same events. But God told Daniel at the end of Daniel's revelation in chapter 12 to seal up the book. And he said, seal it up, because the time is not near. But now we get to Revelation, and God says, don't seal it. Let it be known. Let it be proclaimed. We come to the final book of the chapter, and the final chapter of the Bible, and God says, let my word be proclaimed. Why? Because he said the word will go out and people will have to make a choice. He said those who continue to do wrong, if the word is proclaimed and they continue to do wrong, he said they're going to be accountable for that, and no one can tell them they didn't hear or they didn't know. Because they heard the word, it was made proclaimed, it was known, the choice was they didn't choose to accept it. Or that those who continue to be holy and right continue to be holy and right. He said, we're going to have a choice. The word of God is proclaimed, and people have to make a choice what they do with it. And we're responsible for that. Letting it transform us. Letting it dip within us. And make us into the people of God He wants us to be. That's why daily Bible study and reading is so important. That's why getting into God's word alone with you and God is so important, and letting Him speak down deep into us. And how does this process of transformation take place? Well, there's a formula. I'm not good in math. Math was my worst subject. But I did like chemistry. And I guess the reason why I like chemistry, I like doing all the experiments in in lab and mixing stuff and not blowing up anything, hopefully, but mixing everything together. I enjoyed that. You still had to solve for the problems. But God has given us a formula in His Word on how this transformation takes place. And it's right up here. And it's reading. It begins with reading. And it's taking God's Word and reading it consistently and daily, making it part of our daily diet, which is so important. We wouldn't think of going a day without food physically. We miss a meal physically and we think we're dying because we think we're starving to death. And we wouldn't think of doing that in our physical side of our physical man. So reading God's Word, a consistent diet is important, but it doesn't end there. Transformation, a changed life, doesn't happen just by reading God's Word. That's good. It's important. It's the first step of the process. But James tells us if we read it and it ends there, it's not going to make a difference. So reading, and to that we add understanding. And understanding is going a little bit deeper. And what is God seeking to say? What's He revealing? What's He telling me? In our small groups this week, we put this into practice and trying to seek to understand God's Word better. But what's He saying to me? What does this mean? Asking yourself as you're reading the Word of God and you come to portion, ask questions. What does this mean? What's going on? What's happening here? Seek to understand it a little bit better. And we spend a lot of time in the book of Revelation seeking to understand it. And if we couldn't understand it, we're not going to get to that transformation. So reading it and adding an understanding, but there's still something else. And it's we need to add in application. So when you read it, seek to understand it, and then application is applying it. That means how do I put this into practice in my life? What's God telling me to do? How do I apply His Word to my life, to my situation, to what I'm facing in my life this very day? Because as you read God's Word, God speaks to you personally at that particular moment and say, what's He want me to do today? What this attitude does He want me to change as a result of what He's telling me? And apply it to your life. And that's the beauty of God's Word and how our personal God is. Did you remember, and I already alluded to it, but remember when God spoke to each of the seven churches, as we looked at that, the message to each of them was different. Because He was in their midst, He knew them, He was walking among them, He knew their heart's need. He knew where they were before Him. And that's the beauty of God's Word and His application, is that all of us here can read the same portion. We all can seek to understand it together, what God's saying, but all of us aren't going through the same thing in life. All of us are at different stages in our Christian journey and our relationship with Christ and different needs that we're facing, and God can apply His Word to every single one of us differently. And God can be telling Karen something different than He's telling Jean. And often people say to me, but God, well, you're saying this. Is it wrong if I believe that? Not necessarily, because God speaks to us all differently and applies it to our particular heart's need. Aren't you thankful that God cares for you that much, that He knows you that well, that He can speak to your deepest heart? So reading, adding understanding, and adding application equals a changed life. And that's how our life gets changed and transformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus, into what He wants us and who He wants us to be. So His Word is the word of authority. Hear it, let it live in you, let it guide you, and let it transform you. But second, as we look at this final word, it's also a word of admonition. And that word admonition means to admonish, to encourage, to exhort. that God, as he closes this book of Revelation and reality and closing the entire Bible, his revealed word, is closing with some final words of exhortation, of something he wants to exhort us to do, of something he wants us to remember, something he wants us to be admonished about, to remember, and to apply. Something that's extremely important to him, and he's saying, take this and act on it. And he admonishes us in this word of exhortation first to accept the invitation that he's given. And he says, behold, verse 12 and 14, this is all in the red letters of Jesus. So this is Jesus speaking, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He said, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. And I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And whoever is thirsty, let him come and drink of the water, free gift of the water of life. God ends his scripture, his word, with the invitation to come into relationship with him. And from the very moment that sin entered the world in the garden, which we saw last week again, when sin entered the garden, till the very end of Scripture, God has been on a rescue mission to save sinners. And he's been wanting to call people back to himself in a relationship that was broken, so that we can enjoy that place as paradise is regained, as we saw it last week. So it's not surprising that God's word would conclude, and then he would finish his word with one final invitation for people to come to him in relationship. Accept his invitation because he's coming soon. Because he says, behold, I am coming soon. He's reminding us that that day's going to come when the trumpet's going to sound. We're going to be caught up with him in glory. And we look for that day. But he said, because it's coming soon, meaning imminent, it can happen at any moment, we don't know when it will occur, we need to be ready, we need to be prepared, so accept that invitation of salvation and believe in him. Many of you have done that. But if you don't know Jesus and never put that relationship to him, trusting him by faith, he's saying, come. Here, come, receive that invitation by faith. That's his final admonition to you. And those who accept his invitation will be rewarded and be saved and rewarded with the tree of life. He said to everyone, he said, I am coming soon and my reward is coming with me. And the reward that I'm bringing is that of eternal life. And he said, I will give everyone according to what he's done. And we'll be rewarded by being able to receive the crown of life. The crown of life that he will give to those who are saved. And we will have the reward of being able to eat from the tree of life, which we saw described last week, of having that privilege to enjoy life with him forever. So accept the invitation. It's this word of admonition. He also admonishes us to be true to his word. Because it's the word of authority, and what he teaches us, and it has come from God as our source, his word can't be changed. His word can't be tampered with. His word can't be fooled with. His word can't be distorted. There's a lot of cults out there trying to distort God's word. There's a lot of churches and pastors and teachers who are seeking to distort the truth of God's word to be more politically inclusive today and less offensive. But we can't distort his word. We got to be true to it, because he gives a strong admonition here. Notice what he says in verse 18 and 19. I warn everyone. He said, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, all of us are included, that if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from the book of this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and the holy city, which are described in this book. Pretty serious warning. And God's saying we need to be true. We can't distort it. We can't tamper with his word. It's all-inclusive, meaning everyone. And it's comprehensive, meaning we can't add anything to it or we can't take anything away from it. We can't change it to make it believe what we want it to believe today, that saying, well, God's word doesn't mean that in our time. God's word does not change, and he does not change, does he? And it's serious. He gives a final admonition. He said, it's serious that if you tamper with my word, try to distort its truth, and try to make it what you want it to believe, he said, that is inviting my judgment on you. To tamper with or distort God's word, in context here, he's talking about the book of Revelation specifically. But by implication, he's talking about all 66 books in general. And he said to tamper with it, to distort, is to invite his judgment in our life. And I think of pastors that stand before churches that are intentionally distorting and twisting God's word in order to please what people want to hear. That's a serious offense before God. And so we need to take his word seriously, because it's his word, it's his truth. And the word ends with that final admonition. Don't tamper with it. Be true to what he tells us. Accept his word as he's revealed it to us and apply it to our life. And the final word of admonition is to pray for his return. To look forward to the day that he is coming. The book of Revelation, God's word ends with Jesus. With verse 20 says that he who testifies to these things, Jesus himself, saying, yes, I am coming soon. And he said, I am coming. I am near the door. I am ready to return. Waiting for my Father to give the order, son, go get your children and bring them home. Boy, I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? When the Lord says, Father says, son, go get your kids, bring them home. We're going to have a party for all eternity. The time is now. I'm looking forward to that day. And John says, Jesus says, I'm coming. Be ready. And then John concludes by saying, amen. He gives his amen. And there's a certainty to it, like meaning, so be it. Let it be. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And is that your desire? Say, Lord, amen. Come. I am ready. I know you. I'm ready to go. I'm going to have glorious futures ahead of me. And that old commercial, cow gone, take me away. You know, I'm ready. Come quickly. And pray for his return. And what's that mean? It means we need to watch and keep our eyes to the sky, being in a spirit of watching, because he could come at any moment. But also means that we need to be waiting patiently. And in the midst of every day, just serving him and doing what he wants us to do faithfully until that day he comes. Keeping our eye tuned to him, but also witnessing and knowing and sharing that hope that we have, or the reason for the hope and expectation we have. Praying for the soon return of Christ, because Jesus is delaying his return now to give more people time to be saved. To give our loved ones time that don't know him an opportunity to believe in him. So the final word has been spoken. God has revealed through his word of authority and his word of admonition. Let his word live in you. Take it seriously. Heed his final call. If you know him, rejoice in the hope that you have. Look forward to his return with expectancy, and serve him fervently until that day. If you don't know him, then accept that invitation, because it's open and available to all while there's still time, while he's delaying his coming. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this final word of admonition to us, that your word is that final word of authority in everything. The final word of authority for how, what we believe, how we live our life. For a final word of authority that determines and defines what marriage is, how, when life begins. So many things. Your word is that authority that we base what we believe on. You have spoken. You have declared it. It's not the word of a politician or a court or anything else. Your word is that word of authority. Because it comes from you. It's trustworthy. It's reliable. It guides us and points us to you, our hope, our Savior. So Lord, may your word live in us, transform us as we read it every day and take it seriously, because faith without being put into action is useless, and reading your word without putting it into practice is like looking at our face in a mirror and forgetting what we've seen and not making the corrective action. So Lord, may we take your word seriously as the word of authority that you have spoken. But Lord, also we thank you for that final admonition, that our lives are encouraged to look forward to your return, that you are coming quickly, to keep our eyes on the eastern sky and living with that hope that every day this could be the day that you come for us. And to accept that invitation, and if there's anybody here this morning that does not know you and have not accepted your invitation of salvation, your call, that they would accept that call while there's still time. And Father, may we take your word seriously, not tamper with it, not distort it, not seek to change it, to make it believe what we want it to, because that's a serious thing to you, because your word can't be added to or distracted or tampered with, because it is coming revealed from you the way you intended it to be when you gave it to us. So thank you, Lord, for the power of your word, the final word you've spoken, and Jesus, who is that final word. We thank you that you are the Alpha, the beginning, and the Omega, the end, and everything in between. And we can trust you for every single day. From beginning of time to the end of time, you are there, walking with us, guiding us, and directing us until that final day. So thank you for this word, what you've been teaching us through it, for revealing yourself, your plan, and the hope that we have. And we give this prayer and ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.